1 Peter chapter 4. We'll read verses 7 through 11. Give your attention to God's holy and infallible word. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May He bless it to our hearing this evening. Well, as we said this morning, it's appropriate for us to give our attention to the office of deacon, since we are witnessing an ordination and installation of deacons this evening. And now we come to really the service of deacons. The service of deacons. And here in Peter's first letter, he speaks about the end that is promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of all things is near. It will be a short amount of time. When we find ourselves in the end, we will be amazed at how quickly this world and this life will have gone away from us. And so what does Peter say? Since the end of all things is near, we're to live radical Christian lives, right? We're to just do extraordinary things. No, he doesn't say that. He says that you are to live ordinary Christian lives. He says here that there are four things that we ought to give ourselves to in light of the approaching end of all things. Self-controlled, sober prayer, first of all. Secondly, fervent love for one another. Thirdly, hospitality without complaint. And fourthly, service to one another. Now maybe that is more radical than we might expect because of the spiritual nature of these things. We need God's grace and God's help to actually walk in these things. And what I want to give our attention to this evening, very briefly, is this fourth thing that we ought to give ourselves to, and that is service to one another. Service to one another. In verse 10, Peter says this amazing thing that you are to use the gift that God has given to you to serve one another. You are to receive and dispense the manifold grace of God that has been given to you. And then in verse 11, he provides for us two categories in particular. And I think that these two categories are particularly tied to the two orders that we talked about this morning, the two roles of shepherding and stewarding. He says, whoever speaks and whoever serves, whoever preaches and teaches, and whoever deacons. And so it's especially the second one that we want to give our attention to this evening. I have two points. The first one is this: deacons serve God. And the second point is that deacons are served by God. Deacons serve God and deacons are served by God. And so, first of all, deacons serve God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. You recall, if you were with us this morning, that in Acts chapter 6, We saw that those who were set apart for a particular task, they were to see to it. These seven men were to see to it that there would be none needy in their midst. They were to make sure that those who were needy were both protected and provided for, so that the Spirit's ministry of joyful gratitude and generous fellowship would be maintained and even enlarged within the church. Now, we've talked about stewardship. Let me give a definition to stewardship. To be a steward, or to do that work of stewardship, is to receive and to dispense the provisions and resources of the church in order to alleviate the distractions of suffering and pain, which is in accord with the manifestation of the kingdom of God, so that, humanly speaking, the gospel can be most understood and received. So again, I'll say it again. We are, as stewards of God, we are to receive and to dispense the provisions and resources that He has provided for us, so that people would be alleviated in a particular physical way, so that they can give most of their attention and they can receive the gospel of grace. And so, to this end, let me lay out for you a number of things that the deacons are to do in order to receive and dispense in stewardship the resources of God. They are to regularly meet to deliberate on issues that are related to the stewardship of mercy ministry, and the stewardship of our physical property, and the stewardship of the treasury of the congregation. Now, I'm not going to open all of these up. I'm just going to give you a number of things to consider. Many of these things are just my articulation of what we actually find in our Constitution. The deacons further are to partner with the session in prayer for the church, in evaluation of a comprehensive gospel ministry of word and deed, and as well to promote the growth of this comprehensive gospel ministry. Deacons are to lead the congregation in discerning and serving the apparent needs that the Lord brings before the church. And they are to lead the congregation in discerning and serving these needs in a liberal and yet prudent way. They need to carefully receive and discerningly distribute God's resources. Deacons are to further provide counsel in stewardship to those in the church and those who are looking for help. They are to provide counsel in stewardship of gifts and resources that the Lord provides individuals for His glory and for the good of His church. And that includes, they are to have a teaching ministry in which they teach biblical principles and how to receive and how to budget and how to give of those resources that God provides. Further, they are to develop a ministry of visitation. A ministry of visitation. This might be surprising to some of us, but this is also laid out in our standards. Now, we might think of visitation in relationship to those who are marginalized, those who are impoverished in our society. Visitation to the hospitals where people are sick, nursing homes, jails. And they're not to do all of the visitation, but they are to organize and make sure that the church is involved in this visitation. But they also, as it says in our standards, ought to schedule visits to the home of congregants. Now, let me give you an illustration. Thomas Chalmers was a minister in the Church of Scotland in the 19th century. And under his ministry, within his particular community, they saw the welfare system no longer be needed within 3 years. Within 3 years, the state didn't have to provide any money to anyone in their community because the church was educating as well as caring for those in need. That's amazing. And let me just give you just a brief explanation of what Chalmers did. The elders and the deacons made themselves available to counsel all who lived in their district regarding material and spiritual needs. The deacons were to oversee the physical needs of the residents of the subdivision. At this time, the diaconate, as an office and a work, had fallen to the wayside. They didn't even have deacons in the church until Chalmers had revived it. And these deacons were given the task, sometimes very reluctantly, to deal with cases of hardship and poverty. They visited each household in their district to inquire about their financial state and give them formal counsel in areas of stewardship, budgeting, and tithing, which all led to the financial stability of the parish. Not only were the poor encouraged to take up a skill or a trade, but they were also encouraged to give in tithes to the work of missions, which gave them a sense of contribution to the work of the gospel and foreign missions. This sounds amazing. Can you imagine just walking down the street, knocking on the door? Hi, I'm the deacon of Sycamore Reformed Presbyterian Church, and I'd like to know if you'd like any financial counseling. But this is what they did. That was a time and context where it's probably a little bit more appropriate, but you get the point. There's people knocking on our doors asking for handouts, asking for financial help. And what an opportunity we have just in those contexts to be able to talk with people about their stewardship and their need. The parish was familiar with ministerial visitations, that is, the visitation of the minister, but to have elders and deacons visit more frequently than their pastor was able produced a feeling of pastoral oversight and personal care to the parish environment. The promotion of each officer, knowing each person in their district, was a means of winning back the population of outcasts in that particular community. So in summary, the deacons are to give attention to those whose joy is being challenged by present life circumstances, whether the poor or the orphan or the widow or the lonely or the sick or the foreigner. The deacons are to provide the resources, attributes, and talents of the church that God has supplied to alleviate burdens and help people focus on the God of grace. And the deacons are to guide and mobilize the members of the church to diaconal service both within and outside of the church. Don't think for a minute that if you have elected these men to serve as deacons, that that somehow has completed your responsibility. We must support the ministry and the work and the guidance of our deacons. And that brings us to our second point, that deacons are served by the Lord. Again, verse 11 says, "Whosoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies." This job description that I just gave sounds so challenging. And it's challenging both in regard to the labor itself, but it's also challenging in regard to the difficulty of entering into the burdens of others. Who is sufficient for these things, we say with Paul. And Peter tells us in verse 10 that you are to use the gift that God has given to serve one another, that you are to receive and dispense or distribute His manifold grace. And what that means then is this, that the office is not to be used as a position of power or privilege, but it is to be used for the service of one another. This grace of God does not come from the deacon. This ministry does not come from something internal within the deacon. It comes from God Himself. And you hear it. The officer is just a steward. He's just a servant distributing God's gifts to others. And with that, we need to think about three things. First of all, whatever ability you have to do good, you must acknowledge it to be God's gift according to His grace in your life. God is serving you so that you can serve. But it's Him. It all comes from Him. And secondly, whatever gifts you have received, you ought to consider them as received not for yourself, but for others. You cannot use God's gifts for personal gain. You cannot neglect or hide the gifts of God, but you are to serve others before the face of God, aware of His ever-seeing eye. And thirdly, in receiving and using the manifold gifts of God, you must consider yourself His servant. The talent that you are entrusted with are the Lord's good, the Lord's goods, and must be employed as He directs and as He commands. And Peter adds to this already encouraging statement that the Lord would have you to serve others. He provides this wonderfully encouraging reminder that God supplies the strength that you actually need for such labors. The God who calls you to service provides the ability to serve. You have abundantly received so that you may abundantly give. You have been greatly blessed so that you can be a blessing. And finally, the great end and outcome of your service is given, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter was a Presbyterian who knew the chief end of man. He knew that we do all things to the glory of God. One commentator says this, God is not glorified by anything we do if we do not offer it to Him through the mediation and merits of Jesus Christ. Do you notice this? That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. God must be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the only way to the Father. And here, Peter, just as we've heard from Paul in Romans, seeks to bring to the forefront the exaltation of Christ Jesus. Now here's another encouraging thing. You don't need an office in the church in order to speak the truth in love. And you don't need an office in the church in order to serve one another. You don't need an office in the church in order to bring glory to God. And yet what is being said here is that this ministry and calling of those placed in these church offices is to bring glory to God in their speaking and in their serving. The idea here is that in these offices we do this work so that others would see and experience the good works that we do, and they would glorify your Father in heaven. This text is calling us to always look to Jesus, who has given these gifts to men. For in Him alone, our service is accepted by God. And in Him alone, God is pleased with our stewardship of His manifold graces. Amen.